accession number 19067, Reel 4.
Fred McLeod, Reel 4.
Right. A blow light ticket, it only had a value within the fort canteen or the nappy, and the nappy was the barber's, or the cinema, or with fruit wallers, char wallers, that was the fruit man, the tea man, the pictures, the canteen. But you only get caught once. Is if you went in to any of the places and you gave them a rupee note, say, and you wanted, you're buying two penny worth of tea or a doana of tea, then they'd give you the change back in these blue light tickets. Well, there was of no value whatsoever outside the fort. You see, so that if you offered 5 rupees and you got £5 of cardboard back, which was only valued in it within the fort, if you tried to send them outside the fort, nobody would entertain them, you see. And it was quite true. Fort William itself, it was really, really, I think it was in 1942, I saw England, England cricket team, touring team, and I believe England won this test series in India, and they played India on the Maya Dam at just outside of Calcutta, and that's a marvellous, wonderful place. It's just like a green prairie, where during the day the water in it, it's a responsibility. Different areas of the military to see that it's swept and watered. And all, and see them walking, chaps that's on jankers or punishment, you know, going out with the MPs, military police, and the duty is picking cigarette ends up, matchstokes, any sort of what shouldn't be there, keeping the place clean and tidy. It is really wonderful. And right in front of the Viceroy's. Well, that's the Viceroy's palace. It's absolutely green. It's really and like white marble. It's so something like the Taj Mahal. I've seen the Taj Mahal, I have, and I walked past it, and it's all white marble. I remember Princess Diana sitting on the same seat, and I'm almost certain I sat in the same place as what she was. And
but why do you say the Fort William was so impressive?
Well, it was. It was. When you hear me talk about Fort William, you think as a strong point, yes, so it is. But within the fort, there were so many vital things going on, such as with armaments. There were so many civilian employed people working for the government inside of the fort.
Can I come back to something you were saying earlier that I didn't understand? You were talking about the battalion MO,
yeah,
prodding these people to see if they were alive.
That's right, yeah.
But why was your army medical officer concerned with whether civilians on the street were dead or alive? Isn't that a civilian job?
Well, no. You see, that came under the that. You see, like I just said to you, there was what they called a W company. Anything that came up, you had to deal with it, whether it was riots, In my experience, I don't think I'd ever seen a city with so many disabled, what do you call it, cripples. And they say the more crippled that they are, the more valuable they become begging. And you see, if they've nowhere to go, they'll try. Sleep beats everybody, doesn't it? And I know in my experience, and I've been in the army, I mean, you could literally fall asleep on your feet, but you can't. Once you, that's it, you're on the floor, aren't you? I mean, you've no further will then to stand up. You can't stand up. And these people have just, you know, maybe been resting or out like that. They've maybe got to that stage in life where they're dying, I mean, maybe starving or out like that. And if they was dead, you've got to do something about it.
But you isn't that a police job?
You know, well, I mean, I imagine that there's more troops than there is what they call them, police, but at the same time, it's a case of emergency, isn't it? When you're called in to do these jobs. I mean, we never thought no more about it than it was a duty, that the sooner it was done, the better it was all around. But
so you were in this W company, were you?
I mean, everybody's in the W, everybody in the battalion, you see. That could turn around and say, right, this week, the W company will come out of A company. And the W company, the week after, will come in, out of B company. You see, they took it, the roster, there was no company did it continual or out like that. I mean, everybody else wanted a rest, didn't they? A bit of relaxation, let's say. I mean, that's it. I mean, when you was out there and we was in that fort, you was there for a reason, and the reason was this, that it had to be military police. I went on the police. I mean, the first way to get on the police was you had to win a stick man's job. You had to be the smartest man, the cleanest man on the guard. And there was always the odd man on the guard, because there were six on the guard, two by day, four by night, you see. And that was it. I think altogether I got about four, maybe five sticks in the period that I was in Fort William. And this officer came up to me. I didn't know he was the provost officer, and he just said to me, "So would you like a tour of duty on the police?" So I said, "Yes, I wouldn't mind." So I said, "Now look here." He said, "You are the first person that they will see coming through the main gate." He says, "And appearances, believe me," he said, "appearances counts for next to everything." And that was it. You had to be clean. You got to be smart. And during the day, you had a walking stick. You had your MP band on. Everybody had to have a pass. And if they come up on a pedal cycler out like that, and they try to get by, there's only one thing: walking stick straight into the back wheel and stop them, like. And
Did you ever have to do that?
Pardon?
Did you ever have to do that?
Well, you only have to take one step and you have to practically nearly fall off the cycle, you know. They knew. But like anything else, whether it's bravado on their part or tempting providence, and I don't know, but I think only about once or twice it got to that stage with me. But, you know, because the best thing that I found out, the best thing was, took one step and into the middle of the road, you know, into the gateway. And once you did that, well, it was on the way and down off the push bikes and whatnot.
Why were they trying to get into the fort?
Well, this is it, you see. They had to have a pass for the fort. And on the pass, if there was businessmen or out like that doing a job for an ordinance or anything like that, they had to have the photographs took, and on the pass as well, you see. Yeah, I liked it really. I did my tour. Then I'd like to tell you about the job that I got when I was on the police, and this officer come and I'd got selected to be the escort to a military courier, and the duty was from Calcutta to Ranchi. And the security was this, I used to be transported to Indian Army headquarters, and I used to pick this officer up, and used to go down to Howrah station, railway station, and there were so many two-berth coupes on there, they were just and there was only two allowed in, and this officer said to me, he said, come along, he said, we'll find out which coupe we're in. So I said, which coupe will we be in? He said, I'll tell you that when we come to it. Anyhow, it went along, and said, here we are, this is our coupe. And it was reserved for Mr. and Mrs. Mercury. Now that was the code name. So I said, oh, am I Mrs. Mercury? Are you Mrs. Mercury? So I said, well, he said, that I don't know. He said, but what I do know is this. Wherever I go, you go. And wherever you go, I go. And that was in between Calcutta and Ranchi. It was the best job I ever had in the army, because they used to get what they called hot food and ice allowance. And we used to stop at 3 o'clock in the morning at a place called Muri in Manipur State, outside of we used to stop there about 3 o'clock in the morning, and off the main line was the wide gauge, and I think the wide gauge in India was 5'4". The span of the rails in England, it's 4'8". And this other narrow gauge in off Manipur State to Ranchi from Muri, it was only about 3'10" or something like that. There was the railway, the doings was only about as wide as this, the coaches, because they also go some very steep hills, you know, and in the middle was this like safety line. It's like a cog, like a cogwheel all the way, and there's the two wheels at the side, and this thing, so that if they do start to run back, automatically it comes down and anchors it, you know. And that was from Muri, and 3 o'clock in the morning, and I used to have two poached eggs on toast. And this officer was the same, and I used to get, I think it was 5 rupees, 14 annas, and we used to do 2 journeys a week, and we used to have to report to Eastern Army Headquarters, and went from there to Aura Station. From Aura Station we went to Muri Junction, and from Muri Junction we used to go and to Ranchi, and it was quite was the same walking stick, Colt 45, 50 rounds of ammunition, and wherever he went, I went. Wherever I went, he went, and that was it. If he wanted to go to the toilet, I escorted him. If I wanted to go to the toilet, he escorted me. And if we ever got out of the coach and he was going anywhere, I would want to step in front of him. And that was it. That was the orders.
Was there ever any trouble?
No. He used to wear, you know, the officer with a red sash. And I mean, the cheese cutter with the, what they call them, tippy, the brass tippy. And usually all these military couriers, there was all 6 foot plus chaps. It was the fitted the doings. You'd be a brave man to tackle one, you know, to try to do him any harm.
What was he carrying, an envelope?
No, well, there was satchels, you know, and that was their job, military couriers. They carried orders that was so important that they was only known to the headquarters. And so he was taking the always currying for.
Carry on.
Every Friday, and we used to go on a Friday, we used to come back Saturday morning, but every Friday, I was in 17th Indian Division and Black Cat Division. And every Friday between 10 o'clock and I think it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you always had to carry, that was only once every Friday at that time. There was no excuse for it. You had to carry a gas mask, a respirator. And I don't know how this had happened, and I don't know how it had escaped him, but it didn't escape me till I got to Ranchi, it was Eastern Army Headquarters and Indian Army Headquarters. Eastern Army was at Calcutta, and Eastern Army Headquarters was at Ranchi. And the same in Eastern Army, an Indian Army. It was universal, and I went this Friday, and I have mine as usual. And how I come to overlook it, I don't know. But when we got to Ranchi, all of a sudden, he said to me. I forgot my bloody respirator. I said, you haven't. I said, you take mine. I said, I've left mine. Just like that, like. And I was the chap that's arrested in, took in, put in the bloody guardhouse. And I was in there about an hour when he come back, and he was all smiles like. And he says, it's a good job you had your wits about you. He says, and he said, the phone through to East Army headquarters. He said that your respirator is in the guard room there. So I said, oh, I said, thank you very much. But he had mine, and you know, I was actually covering for him, you know. And but I finished up in the. But I went on the charter out like that, like, but rules is rules.
What was the idea of having a respirator just on a Friday?
Well, this was it. This was it. I don't know any more difference than you, but it was routine, you know. I mean, he'd got right to Murray in some state that ranch is in, and he just said to me, he said, "Good God," he said, "I've left my bloody respirator," just like that.
I think ranch is in Bihar, isn't it?
I don't know.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. But did you feel nervous as you went about in India in this way?
Well, not really. You had to be careful. I mean, you'd be a bloody idiot if you didn't if you didn't try to look after yourself. You know.
Did you ever have any incidents or anybody showing hostility?
No, not really. One of the most amusing things I thought that I'd got a leap. We'd been in Birmingham and I'd got the first 14 days leap, but you had to have it at a military establishment. And I went to this place, they called it Balloon. And as I was walking down this road, I went round this bend, the sharpest bend. And there's about 50 black-faced grey baboons, all set on the wall. And they're all, you know, showing their teeth and this, that, and the other. Of course, I shied over to the other side of the bloody road, out the road. But, you know, monkeys do that. They'll travel in packs and this, that, and the other. And whether the packs is families and whatnot, I don't know. But I thought it was a bit scary because I go out the road sharpish.
Where was that? Balloon?
Balloon. Balloon. And it's just outside of. The Golden Temple at where the seat
Amritsar,
that's it. The Golden Temple of Amritsar, and you come off the main railway line, and to go up to Balloon, you change onto an electric train for about 5 or 10 miles, and it's an hill station. You know, it's non-malarious, you know.
But that's jumping ahead a bit anyway. So the battalion are in Fort William in Calcutta doing these duties. Anything else we should say before we move on to how you left Calcutta?
Yeah, I had a leaf in just outside of Calcutta. It might come to me what to call it, but... It was a. I get tea off Rington's tea man, and I was asking him about this chap that comes selling this tea.
Not Darjeeling.
No, it wasn't that. Not Darjeeling.
Was it up in the hills?
It was in Manipur State. But I can't remember what they call it, but it's a state, and it's a tea plantation. And there's all these women picking...
not Silhet.
Nazara, that's what they called it. The Nazara tea plantation. And it's run exactly as military, but every one of them, they're all specialists. There's a doctor, a chap who looks after the accounts, an engineer, electrician, and an engineer, I think it was, an engineer, and it's absolutely run as a military unit. They're all married people, all married couples, and they used to meet twice a week. And in this tea planter's recreation place. And it was really good. I enjoyed it.
This was a leave period, was it?
Pardon?
This was a leave period, was it?
Yes, I was with a chap called Easton, and he was a corporal, and there were just two of us, and there was 10-day rest periods, and they asked me if I wanted to go. Because like what you've just said, Darjeeling was such a wonderful place in the Himalayas, and if you want to see the sun rising over top of Mount Everest, you've got to set off at 3 o'clock in the morning, and to go up on these ponies, they're a bit something like a small racehorse.
But did you go to Darjeeling as well?
No. I've just seen photographs of it. And I was one of the unlucky ones that didn't get on to Darjeeling. But I got to Bulun, and I enjoyed that very... Dalhousie, they called it, the place. There's Upper Dalhousie and Lower Dalhousie. And the Upper Dalhousie is for... all officers and above, and Lord Dalhousie was from sergeants downwards, you know, and I enjoyed it, I did really, and because it was cold, you could walk about shirt sleeve order, you know, and they sat in the other shorts, and of course on the night time you wanted slacks on and your shirt sleeve, you must have, you know, that was routine. Slacks and shirt, tie and tight round your cuffs as you are, you know, in case there was any mosquitoes, you know, which was very unlikely. And I really enjoyed it. It's nice. I saw one or two decent films there and whatnot. And
Did you go from Calcutta to Burma?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we moved out as a regiment. The 9th Battalion. We moved out as the 9th Battalion, and we was in the advance party. I was with headquarters then, and